Proverbs chapter 11, so notice verse 7. When a wicked man dieth, his expectation shall perish. And the hope of unjust men perisheth. We'll read that again. When a wicked man dieth, his expectation shall perish, and the hope of unjust men perisheth.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this evening. It's a joy to be in your house tonight.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you for the privilege of prayer.
Amen.
And Father, I pray we'd all pray by faith. You
yes.
said it only takes a mustard seed of faith, and you'll answer the prayer. We're grateful for that.
Thank you.
And we do pray tonight, God, that you'd bless now this message. Fill me afresh and anew with thy spirit. Lead and direct my thoughts and words this evening. And Father, as we think of this subject again of wisdom, I pray that we would always choose your wisdom
Amen.
Over the world's. And so please help us tonight. We need your help in this world that we live in, Lord. And we know you are our help. And we ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Well, it was in 1948 that Grace Reese Adkins wrote a familiar hymn, and it's hymn number 393, if you note it there in our hymnal. Of course, it's in several different hymnals, but in ours, it's 393. And notice the title of it is this, I'll Wish I Had Given Him More. And that's a familiar hymn. We've sung it many times here. But let's not allow the song's familiarity to detract us from its sobering message. It really is, to me, when we sing that song, a very sobering message. You see, this hymn teaches a truth, and we'll look at the words here in a second. I'm not going to read all of them. But it teaches a truth that's well worth visiting in our minds again and again and again. Notice it says, by and by when I look on his face, beautiful face, thorn shadowed face, by and by when I look on his face, here's the phrase, I'll wish I had given him more.
Amen.
Verse 2, by and by when he holds out his hands, welcoming hands, nail-riven hands, by and by when he holds out his hands, I'll wish I had given him more.
Amen.
Verse 3, in the light of that heavenly place, light from his face, beautiful face, in the light of that heavenly place, I'll wish I had given him more.
Amen.
Now look at the chorus. Notice, more, so much more, verse, the first verse, more of my life than I e'er gave before. The second one, more, so much more, more of my love than I e'er gave before. Then the third, more, so much more, treasures unbounded for him I adore.
Amen.
And then, of course, it ends with that phrase again, by and by when I look in his face, I'll wish I had given him more.
Amen.
I think every one of us would nod in agreement to that.
Right.
That we will wish that we had given him more. You see, I believe when our lives are over, all of us will look back and to some degree, some more than others certainly, we'll have some regrets.
Right.
We'll have some regrets.
Amen.
There'll be some things that we wish we never did.
Right.
We'll look back and say, why did I do that? That was dumb.
Amen.
There'll be some things that we didn't do that we should have done.
Right.
And we'll wonder, why didn't I do those things? There'll be things we'll look back at and say, wow, I wish I did it differently.
Right.
That I made a different decision or choices that we made that were wrong choices or time that we spent that we'd look back and say, I wish I spent that time differently. Now, I'm not going to beat myself up totally for it because I thank God for his grace. Amen. And you should thank God for his grace as well. Because through it all, he gives us grace. He forgives us. And every sin he can forgive. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And he can and will restore anyone and everyone, no matter what we've done.
Praise the Lord.
But we can never get our lives back.
Right.
We can't. And we all know that we can't change the past. But guess what? We can change from today forward.
Amen.
We can change from this day forward. And there's something that you and I can do from this day forward that will minimize our regrets. You say, what is that, preacher? Here it is. This is the message. Keeping our priorities right.
Amen.
Keeping our priorities right. Or perhaps I could say it this way. Keeping our priorities biblical. Now, for some time, you know the story here. We've been in this book of Proverbs for a good while here. We've been dealing with the subject wisdom from above. It's taken from James chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. And the idea of this series, again, just briefly, is that there are basically two ways that a believer can choose to live his life. Even though we're saved, we can choose one or the other. We can choose to follow God's wisdom and what he says in his word, which is the wisdom from above. Or we can, even as believers, we can choose to follow the so-called wisdom of this world. The choice is ours.
Amen.
Now we know God's wisdom is the instruction that is given to us by Almighty God.
Amen.
It's given to us by our all-knowing, all-wise, eternal Creator, the one who created this world, the one who
Amen.
Made you and made me, made mankind. He knows what is in us, what is in man, and he even knows the beginning from the end. This is the one that Jude said in Jude 25, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. This is the God that Paul described this way in 1 Timothy 1:17. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. And understand, this wise God is man's only source for true wisdom.
Amen.
That's where we get wisdom from.
Right.
So I heard somebody say something that was wise. Yeah, well, guess what? They stole it from God then. Because he is the source of wisdom.
Amen.
Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 6. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding.
Amen.
And we find God's wisdom in God's word. Psalm chapter 19 and verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure. Watch this, making wise the simple.
Amen.
Any simple people in here? Both my hands are up right here. I need God's wisdom.
Right.
Then there's that other choice, this wisdom of this world, which is merely the ideas of unregenerate men. Their philosophies, what they think, those that do not know God and know very little comparatively to God, and they're trying to figure out this world apart from God, and they call themselves wise. They're not. Let me give you a few examples of the wisdom of this world. The wisdom of this world says that there was a big bang billions of years ago, which flung everything out into space, and then it rained on this chunk of rock, which happened to form into a circle for millions of years, created a soup, and then one day life emerged from that rock. Well, that's smart. So it rained on a rock, right? So we're going over that in creation science. The wisdom of this world says this, that if a man says he's a woman, guess what? He's suddenly no longer a man and he's a woman. Huh? Yeah, that's what they say. And then you have to, and I have to call him, her, or else you may get fired from your job if you don't. That's the wisdom of this world.
Right.
We could go on and on there, but I better move on for time's sake. But here's what God says about their wisdom in 1 Corinthians 3:19. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. And so tonight we're going to look at another area that you and I have to choose which one we're going to apply. Are we going to apply the wisdom of this world, or we're going to apply the wisdom of God or wisdom from above? And the area is, notice the top of your sheet, the wisdom of having right priorities. Right priorities. Let's go back to our text verse here in Proverbs chapter 11. Notice what we find here in Proverbs 11:7. When a wicked man dieth, his expectation shall perish, and the hope of unjust men perisheth. Now please notice that word, expectation. Notice when a wicked man dieth, his expectation shall perish. You know, that word expectation, the English word, is translated from a Hebrew word, tikvah, which means this. It means the thing that you are living for. It means the thing that you are longing for. It's kind of interesting because the word tikvah literally means a cord. It means a cord that attaches. So what he's saying here is this. A person's expectation is that which their life is attached to. That's what it is. It is that thing or things that you and I have made the priority of our life. And when a man lives with the wrong priorities, when he dies, guess what happens? His expectations perish. You see, for the person who is living by man's wisdom, all of his hope resides in this world. It all resides in this life. Why is that? Because his priorities are not right. And so when he perishes, his expectation perishes with him. All of his hopes, all of his dreams, all of his purposes are gone. He's wasted his life, because he's had the wrong priorities. I don't want that to happen to me.
Amen.
And I know you don't want that to happen to you. I want to have the right priorities. What are the right priorities? Well, let's find out tonight as we talk about this subject. Let's consider several things about having the right priorities. Notice number one, God's principle of right priorities. Now, you've all, I'm sure, read your Bible and know these verses I'm going to give you tonight. But our God is very clear in his word that what a believer's priorities should be. He's very clear, right, what he says. Very simply put, write this down. The Lord is to be first.
Amen.
In all things. There it is. It's not that difficult, is it?
Amen.
He is to be first. Go over to Colossians chapter 1. You know the verses I'm going to look at here. Colossians chapter 1. Here it is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice in verse 13, who hath delivered us, talking about Christ, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son,
Amen.
In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist.
Amen.
Everything's held together by Christ. He created all things, and they were created for him and by him, and he holds them all together. Verse 18, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, here it is, that in all things he might have the preeminence.
Amen.
Him. The Lord is to be first. There's our priority. That word preeminence means this. It means to have the priority over. It's really that simple. It means to take precedence over everything, to be distinct above everything else, to hold the superior place in a person's life. That's what it means.
Amen.
And so for the believer, if we are going to follow the wisdom of from above, then we, at the top of our priority list, is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He's number one, if you will.
Praise Jesus.
So how does that play out in our daily lives? In other words, okay, we could say, yeah, he's numero uno here. Well, how does that play out on a daily basis? Well, here's how. Several ways here. Three ways. First of all, he is to have the priority in our daily walk.
Amen.
There it is. We read in Matthew 6:33, we'll visit this verse once again a little bit later, Lord willing. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Notice the phrase, seek ye first.
Amen.
There it is, that preeminence, that priority, seek him first. Every single day of our lives as a believer, if we are going to choose the wisdom from above, we must make it a priority to spend time with God. Spend time with him. Spend time with him reading your Bible. Spend time with him praying. Of course, he speaks to us through his word. We speak to him through prayer. Spend time talking to him. Spend time fellowshipping with him. It must be a priority. David said in Psalm 5 and verse 3, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. Often we find God's people praying and spending time with God in the morning. We find it at other times as well, but it seems to be more in the morning. I'm not saying it's wrong if you don't. I'm just saying that's the example. Psalm 88 and verse 13. But unto thee have I cried, O Lord, and in the morning shall my prayer prevent thee. You see, we have to have a daily walk with God. If he is our priority, then we must walk with him every day. We'll never make it spiritually if we don't. Amen. You see, it is our God that is our strength. Amen. He gives us strength. He is the one that equips us for the journey. He is the one that enables us to stand up for Jesus, as we sung just a few moments ago. Psalm 29 and verse 11, the Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. He gives us strength. Psalm 68 and verse 35, O God, thou art terrible out of thy holy places. The God of Israel is he that giveth strength and power unto his people. Blessed be God. You see, the word of God is the food for our soul.
Amen.
We don't go a day without eating. We don't even go a few hours without eating before we start saying, man, I'm just starving. Why aren't we like that with the word of God? We should want it as well, because it is the strength we need, and that strength is the product of a daily walk with God.
Amen.
I've heard people say over the years, preacher, I know that. And this is not rocket science here. It's just basic Bible here. But they say, well, you know, I just don't have the time. You do.
Amen.
You do.
Praise
just got to make the time for it.
Right.
You know, according to a survey done in February 2021, the average American spends between 5 to 6 hours a day on their cell phone.
Wow.
And that is not including work-related use. 5 to 6 hours a day. Two hours and 24 minutes of that 5 to 6 hours is on social media. Just looking up stuff and sending stuff. Most mobile phone users, according to the same survey, check their phones 63 times on average a day.
Wow.
Seems like they're always in front of me at a red light, too, when they do that. Amen. And they just keep looking at it. My point is this. We have the time to spend with God. We really do. But the question is, are we? You see, we have to make it a priority. If you want the wisdom from above and you want to have God's priorities, then make your walk with God a priority. So letter A, God is to have the priority in our daily walk. But then also he is to have the priority, letter B, in our decision making. You know, life is a series of decisions. It is. And there's certain times in your life that there are critical decisions, heading into marriage and so forth. But there's all kinds of decisions we make. Where do I go to school? What college will I go to? Am I to get married? Who am I to get married to? Where am I to live? What job should I take? What career field should I go in? And understand, every single decision we make has ramifications.
Amen.
They all do. And when it comes to make a decision, if God is our priority, then the very first thing we'll ask are questions like these. What would the Lord want me to do?
Amen.
We'd ask, what would God think of this decision?
Amen.
We would ask, is this decision pleasing to the Lord? You see, that's the way, if we're going to have the right priorities, we don't just make those decisions of life flippantly. We think them through. We ask God. We talk to Him about it. We look at the Word of God for principles that would guide us through that decision. And we ask those questions. Lord, do you want me to do this? What would you think if I did this? Would it violate His Word? Is this pleasing to you? That's how a Christian behaves. Supposed to behave. Psalm chapter 10 and verse 4 says this, "The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts." That's the wisdom of this world. They don't care about God. Some don't even believe in God. And some that do, maybe but with lip service, they don't ask him what to do and all of that. They don't think about him. But for the believer, God should be first in our thoughts.
Amen.
He should be there on our minds. And we must not make decisions based on our own whims. Or does it feel good? Do I feel like doing this? Or will this decision make my life the easiest? Sometimes people decide things that way. Many times people decide things based on money. I'll take this job because it's more money. Or I'll work overtime and miss church because of more money. That's not a good way to make a decision. Or we'll make a decision based on what costs me the least or what makes the most human sense. But understand, as believers who seek wisdom from above, we must make our decisions based on God's word.
Amen.
Because we believe, at least we should, if we make the right decision, God will take care of us. I remember as a fairly young Christian, although we were, of course, I was in my early 30s when I got saved, and the Lord, not long after I was saved, called me into the ministry, and we, you know my story, I mean, had to kind of, we left my job and went off to Bible college. I tell you what, at the time, those were huge decisions.
Right.
We didn't know what the future held. We didn't know what God had for us. But we did believe that he was leading us to do that. And not that we've made the right decisions all the time. I'm just saying this was one we did. But I'm saying this, as we made that decision, knowing it was his will, we didn't ask ourselves, well, does it feel right? Or is this the easiest decision? Or does this make the most human sense? Will this be a step up in my pay? It wasn't. Would it be? No, it wasn't. Would it cost me the least? None of those. It didn't even make human sense what we were doing. But we did it. And guess what?
Amen.
God took
Praise
care of
Lord.
Us every step of the way. We didn't miss a meal. We didn't miss anything. You see, that's what the priority, and I need to do that everywhere in life, and so do you, but we often don't. But again, Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So again, God is to have the priority in our daily walk and then also in our decisions. Can I ask you something before you make a decision? Do you consider God? Before you decide what you're going to do each day, do you consider what would God have me to do? That's the way it's supposed to be if we're going to use the wisdom from above. And then there's a third area, not only in our daily walk, in our decision making, he is to have the priority in our devotion. Let me show you what I mean by that. There's nothing necessarily wrong about having hobbies or likes or interests. People do. There's nothing sinful about that. Guys here, we like certain things. Ladies, you like things as well. Some people like sports. You know, they like whatever team you want to pick out. Some guys like hunting and fishing and that sort of thing. And other guys like sports or guns and that sort of thing. Ladies, sewing and knitting, whatever. Whatever your thing may be. Again, there's nothing necessarily wrong or sinful about that. I'm not saying tonight, well, you know, you should never do those things. You should read your Bible 24 hours a day. I'm not saying that at all. But what I'm saying is this. If we have the time to do those things, yet no time to do things for God,
Right. Then
something's wrong with our devotion.
Amen.
Something's wrong with our priorities. You know, often I've seen people get more excited about those things than they get excited about the things of God. Man, talk about the Super Bowl or a sports team. Man, they're all about it. They're all excited. You know, they're pumped up, man. Then you start preaching. You know, it's like, wow. Maybe it says something about me. But anyway, I'm just saying. But my point is this. Why aren't we excited about the things of God?
Amen.
Couldn't we say something's wrong with our heart? Were you always like that? Was I always like that?
Amen.
You see, if I feel good enough to sit and watch a game or a show, I should feel good enough to sit in the church service and listen to a message.
Praise the Lord.
Did I just say that? I did. I'm going to say more.
Amen.
If I feel good enough to go out to dinner, then I can come to church.
Right.
Church. You know. Oh, dinner. Yeah. Where are we going? Yeah, I'll make time for that. Uh-oh. If I feel good enough to go to work on Wednesday morning, I should feel good enough to go to church on Wednesday night.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Isn't that right? Am I missing
Praise
something here?
Amen.
Maybe I am. Oh, here we go. If I can drive in the dark to Walmart,
right?
I can drive in the dark to church.
Amen.
It's too cold to come to church. It's too cold. It's too dark. Oh, Cracker Barrel? Yeah, let's go. Yeah, we'll be back a little late. That's okay. I love it there. Something's wrong, isn't it? Help me out here.
Amen.
You see, my devotion to God should be a priority over my devotion to everything else.
Amen.
It really should. Listen to this. Titus, by the way, let me say this. If I could sit in a tree stand for 2 hours in the cold, I could knock on doors for 2 hours in the cold.
Amen.
Amen. Preaching to myself there, amen. Titus 2:14, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people. Watch this. Zealous of good works. That's why he saved us.
Amen.
That we would do good works and reach people with the gospel. But notice, be zealous of it.
Amen.
Supposed to be excited about it.
I
like 1 Corinthians 16:15. I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints.
Amen.
Man, they couldn't get enough.
Praise
couldn't get enough of doing stuff for God.
Praise the Lord.
The only way we will experience this abundant life that the Lord Jesus promised is if we make the Lord our priority. How about Joshua 1:8? Right? This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. You know, we say, I want success. I want to be prosperous. I want that abundant life. How do I do that? You do what he said. Make God and his word your priority. Then we get that success. So my question tonight is this. Is he our priority?
Good.
Is he? Does he have that preeminence in our daily walk, in the decisions that we make, in our devotion? So we see, number one, the principle of right priorities. God's principle of right priorities. Number two, how about this? The purpose of right priorities. Why are these so important? Why is it so important for you and me to have the right priorities, biblical priorities? Well, think about this. Why did God leave you here?
Amen.
Why are we breathing his air? It's his air.
Amen.
And we're breathing it. And he's making our heart beat. Why? He left us here to serve him.
Amen.
He left us here to live for him.
Right.
He left us here to bring him honor and glory, to know his will and to do it. Revelation 4:11, a great verse. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Why were you made? Why was I made? Not for me, for him.
Right. Amen.
Hey, newsflash. God doesn't exist for us.
Right.
We
Amen.
Exist for him.
Hallelujah.
We get that thing backwards.
Right.
And so we need to have the right priorities, since he's left me here to serve him and live for him and bring him glory. Guess what? I need to have those right priorities now.
Amen.
Why is that? Well, they're important for several reasons. All right? We're on the back sheet of the sheet now. Why is this? Number one is this, the brevity of life.
Right.
The brevity of life.
Amen.
I've done 5 funerals in the last month. I've seen a lot of caskets and sadness and crying, and some were taken out of this earth earlier than they expected. And that's just the way it is. It is. Psalm 89:47. Remember how short my time is. Wherefore hast thou made all men in vain? The Bible reminds us, I mean, again and again, dozens of verses, God tells us that life is short. I remember when I was a young man, I used to say, yeah, it's short. It's long. You old people have been around a long time. Yeah, then you start living. You say, wow, where'd it go? Yes. What happened to me? How come my dad's looking at me in the mirror, from the mirror? It's like it used to be me, but, you know, people say, see old pictures of me and say, who is that? You know, that's called getting older. That's what it is. Our life in the Bible is likened to a vapor, James 4:14. It's likened to a shadow in 1 Chronicles 29 and verse 15. It's likened to a tale that is told, Psalm 90 and verse 9. I've heard a lot of obituaries lately, and this just taking an entire life of 50, 60, 70, 80 years and shrinking it down to a page. I mean, that's how it's just short. It's just a tale that's told. That's how short it is for all of us. Job calls it the wind. Our life is like the wind. It comes and it goes and it's over in a moment.
Right. Amen.
The point is life is short.
Amen.
But remember, it's not the number of days that we live, but the decisions that we make that are most important.
Right.
You see, we don't have time to waste on wrong priorities.
Amen.
I don't have the time to try to figure it out myself.
Right.
By the time I figure it out, I'll be in a grave. I need to take God's word for it and say, well, he says it. That's just it. That's the way it's got to be. We need to have the right priorities because of the brevity of life.
Right.
And then number two, we need to have the right priorities because of our meeting with God.
Amen.
I've had a lot of appointments canceled. We had a lot of stuff canceled. We were trying to get these doors here put in and fixed and different things around here. Everybody keeps putting stuff off, you know, cancel appointment. I mean, the whole property over here, you may, things have been delayed. It's like, it's almost like a pie in the sky thing. Is the preacher really doing something here or what? You know what I mean? What's going on here? But I tell you what, this appointment we're not going to miss.
Amen.
It's going to be our appointment with God.
Amen.
And everyone has a face-to-face meeting with the Lord.
Amen.
Does that bring fear to you? It should. It does to me.
Amen.
2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be bad or good. Romans 14:12, so that every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Every person, every saved person, we think, well, I'm saved, so I'm going to heaven. Praise the Lord for that. We're not going to be a part of the great white throne judgment, not that part where they're cast into the lake of fire. Praise the Lord for that. But we do have another meeting.
Right.
The judgment seat of Christ. And we will give an account face to face with our Lord about what we've done with our lives since we've been saved and what our priorities were. And everything that we have made a priority that was not God's priority is going to burn up.
Amen.
I see a lot of burning probably. And as our text says in Proverbs chapter 11, I mean, think of the sad statement there that when a wicked man dieth, his expectation shall perish. Everything he lived for is gone.
Amen.
It's all gone.
Lord, have mercy.
God help us. Why? Because his priorities were all wrapped up in this world. We can be the same way. Oh, we'll go to heaven. But we'll see the works of our hands burnt up at the judgment seat of Christ. Wood, hay, and stubble of all the time we wasted and all the things we've done and all the things we've didn't done we could have done for the Lord.
Amen.
Our meeting with God ought to cause us to say, you know what, I'm going to fix my priorities.
Amen.
I'm going to fix them. And then number three also, and then thirdly, letter C, is this, our influence on others. Do you know that your priorities influence other people's priorities?
Amen.
They sure do.
Right.
I was going to read this later, but I'll read it now. Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpeneth iron.
Yeah, amen.
So a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. I like to be around somebody who has the right priorities. I like to be around somebody that's you know, going after souls and concerned about the things of God. Because you know what that does? It emboldens me.
Amen.
It helps me out. And that's what I'm talking about here. We should have the right priorities because understand, our priorities do influence other people. Go to Philippians chapter 1. I'll show you something. This idea of influence. Philippians chapter 1. Notice what Paul says in verse 12. But I would ye should understand, brethren, Philippians 1:12, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather under the furtherance of the gospel.
Amen.
So that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. Watch this. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, notice, are much more bold to speak the word without fear.
Amen.
Paul's influence on them.
Praise
you see, others were bold because Paul was bold.
Amen.
And that's the way it is. What his priorities were became others' priorities as well. You see, what's important to you, what's important to me, will influence other people. It'll influence other Christians, it'll influence your children, it'll influence your grandchildren, and it will greatly influence new believers. I remember when we were first saved, you know, we didn't know the Bible real well, but we watched people because we figured, you know, what are they doing? That's, I guess that's what we're supposed to do too, because we weren't saved. We didn't grow up in a Christian home. We didn't know what the Christian life even looked like. We didn't even know what a devotion was. And so what we did as we were learning from the Word of God, we were also watching people. And boy, when we got around somebody who was on fire for the Lord, man, that made me want to do the same thing. And we were in a church. They went soul winning every Saturday morning, bus visitation, and we got involved with that because they influenced us in a good way. We said, that's great. They had the right priorities.
Praise the Lord.
By the way, before Pastor Bull came to that church, they did not. I heard it was not a soul winning church. He came and brought the soul winning there. And, of course, Pastor Bird came as his assistant, and he was the one who led us to the Lord. There's influence for you. And there's their priorities.
Amen.
And understand, your kids are watching you. Grandkids are watching you. School kids are watching you.
Right.
They're looking to see what's important to this person. And by the way, you don't have to say it. They can see it.
That's good.
They know it by what they see.
Amen.
And they're influenced by it. I'll read it again. Iron sharpeneth iron.
Amen.
We sharpen each other. That's why the purpose of right priorities, they're so important. Why? Because of the brevity of life,
Amen.
Because of our meeting with God, and because we influence others around us.
Amen.
Which leads me to number three, and we're done. Then thirdly, not only the principle of right priorities or God's principle, number two is the purpose of right priorities. Number three, our problem with priorities. So why do we get messed up? Wow, there's a lot of reasons. We can talk about a lot of things. But why and how do we get messed up with this idea of priorities? It's very easy to, isn't it?
Right.
I don't know about you. I got to check myself all the time. Am I spending my time right? Am I doing the right things? Is this what the Lord would have me to do? Especially when there's so many things to do in the ministry that just never ends. And so, yes, yeah, God, what do you want me to do? Who do you want me to call? Who do you want me to see? What do you want me to do this day? And so forth. But why do they get messed up? Well, here's why. Here's a couple reasons. First one is this. We adopt the world's philosophies on priorities. I can't think of this message to be preached without referring to the story in Luke chapter 12, because that's what the story is about, priorities. You know the story in Luke chapter 12 and verse 16, and he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Can you see him smirking as he's saying that to himself? Talking to himself, you did a good job. Man, eat, drink, and be merry. And then in verse 20, but God said unto him, thou fool. He probably thought, what do you mean, fool? This night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Can I put it in vernacular of this, for this message? His priorities were messed up.
Right. Amen.
He didn't have it right. And understand, we can easily get drawn in to the world's philosophies, the world's wisdom of priorities, because they're all doing it, they're all talking about it, and they're encouraging you to do it as well.
Right.
Be successful financially, be famous, be rich, whatever it may be, make a name for yourself. There's all kinds of worldly philosophies out there. Find what makes you happy and do it. That's not what life is about. It's finding what God wants me to do. It's not about me being happy. No, I'm happy. I'm just saying. How about this? Fill your bucket list, right? That's another philosophy. Travel the world. Live life as an adventure. My point is this. Be careful that you and I, we have to be careful. We do not adopt the world's philosophies on priorities. It's not hard to do. Everybody's going that way, and we're watching them. But then letter B, also, we adopt the world's philosophies on priorities, or we allow good things to replace right priorities. You know, I think we mistake more, not with bad things, but with good things. I really do. It's easy to say, oh, don't go down to the bar and, carouse the town with liquor and stay away from the drugs and all. Those are no-brainers. We don't deal with that a lot. Thank the Lord for that. We do. I'm just saying that most of the time we don't. Most of us are, we're all right with that. It's the good things, though, that mess us up. It's the stuff that's not bad, but we use something good and we replace it. We get so involved, let's say, with climbing the corporate ladder that we put God and church and everything on the back burner. Nothing wrong with trying to advance at work necessarily and trying to move forward and so forth. But if you leave God out of it, that's a problem.
Amen.
Well, it's not a sin, preacher. I know it's not a sin. But if God's out of it,
amen,
and you're going to be like this guy that at the end of his life, is right, his whole hope is going to perish.
Amen.
Some people, it's all about school. School, 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 school. I'm all for school, but not if it takes you away from the things of God. We can even make our family, put them in the place of God. Now, I love my family. I do. I really do. But the Lord comes first. The Lord,
amen,
needs to come first no matter what.
Amen.
They don't call us anymore. They used to, when we first got saved. Hey, come on up. We got to Sunday afternoon. We're all getting together. We're going to have some fun, just like we used to. Come on over. Well, we can't. What do you mean you can't? We're going to church. Well, didn't you go this morning? Well, yeah, we went this morning.
Amen.
Why are you going tonight? Why are you going tonight? You already went. Well, we think we ought to be there three every time the doors are open. What? What's the matter with you? Don't you love us? Don't you care about us? You know, a birthday only comes around so often, and this event, and so forth. Are they doing a bad thing? No, it's the good things many times that take us away from God's priorities.
Right.
Again, there's nothing necessarily wrong with that, unless we have allowed those things to take us away from God. Let me remind you, if you're in Luke chapter 12, go to Luke chapter 14 and we're done right here. One verse. So you want to be a follower of the Lord?
Amen.
I say I do. But does my life show that I do?
Amen.
Those are two different questions, isn't it? Two different topics. Notice, if you would, in verse 25, let's go ahead there. And there went great multitudes with him. And he turned and said unto them. Now you understand, multitudes around the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, he was the guy that was giving freebies away. I mean, he was giving us food. He was taking away my limp. He can make my uncle see, He can take care of my pain. I'm with this guy. That's right. That's what I want. And he turns to them as this herd of people are following. Listen to what he says. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. I'm sorry, what did he just say? Did he just say I have to put him before my family? That's what he said. Verse 27, and whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. What is the cross? It's a means of crucifying yourself. That's talking about yourself.
Right.
You mean he's saying I can't put my family before him and I can't even put myself before him?
Amen.
That's what he's saying.
Right.
Go down to verse 33. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Now, he may not ask us to forsake all that we have, but we should be willing to.
Right.
But that's only going to happen if we put him first.
Amen.
Preeminence.
Praise the Lord.
Number one. And by the way, that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing.
Praise the Lord.
Because when I put him first, I'm a better husband, father, and grandfather.
Right.
I'm a better friend. I'm a better pastor. And you're a better all that as well, whatever applies.
Right.
When we put him first. That's how we get the abundant life. That's how we spend our time wisely on this earth. That's how we live a life that is pleasing to him and brings glory to him.
Amen.
It's when you and I have the right priorities. I've seen many people, and you have as well, that are living a mundane, mediocre, lukewarm Christian life because they don't want him here. They want him kind of in here somewhere. They want to do their stuff and put him here. Well, you can do that. When you get to the end, you're going to be like that wicked man. I'm not saying you're wicked here, but it'll be the same principle. When a wicked man dieth, his expectation shall perish.
Amen.
Everything you lived for is going to be nothing.
Right.
Kind of like that guy who worked, 40, 50 years for a company. They called him up. Come on in overtime. All right, bro, I'll come in. And then, come on in on your days. Okay, I'll come in. He gave his life to them. And then he started getting a little bit old. They called him into the office. And they said this. They said, we got some young guys coming in, and, this job probably isn't for you. Maybe you should consider taking a package and retiring. Maybe retiring early. He said, I gave my life to this place. I know, but, we have guys that are a lot faster than you, a lot smarter than you, and they can keep up with it a lot better than you, so... Tell you what, we'll give you a nice party, give you a nice gold watch, give you a nice little send-off, and we'll see you later. That's what's going to happen one day.
Right.
If you make that your life.
Amen.
You see, that shouldn't be your life.
Right.
It should be your means of putting food on the table. Our life should be about him. He Amen. Comes first. And when it's all said and done at the end, we'll be glad we did.
Amen.
Because our life would have brought glory to him, and he would use us. For his glory. Amen?
Amen.